America flag. Lieutenant Gulf, Space Camp people, remote from the original scene of hostility. Yes, we are determined to keep out of war. Yet we cannot ensure ourselves against the disastrous effects of war and the dangers of involvement. We are adopting such measures as will minimize our risk of involvement, but we cannot have complete protection in a world of disorder in which confidence and security have broken down. If civilization is to survive, the principles of the Prince of Peace must be restored. Better trust between nations must be revived. Most important of all, the will for peace on the part of peace-loving nations must express itself to the end that nations that may be tempted to violate their agreements and the rights of others will desist from such a cause. There must be positive endeavors to preserve peace. America hates war. America hopes for peace. Therefore, America actively engages in the search for peace.
'38 opened in an atmosphere of uncertainty and fear. The recession had steadily deepened. In a special message, the president called for a new spending and lending program, for priming the pump, and for consolidating the New Deal. The Supreme Court confirmed much of the required legislation. But abroad, war clouds thickened.
Japanese planes sank the American gunboats tonight. Congress voted to build the biggest navy in the world. Now all Europe heard the tramp of Nazi storm ships. The march Hitler seized Austria. Fascist mobs cheered Hitler and Mussolini through the streets of Rome. The Fuhrer flung his threats to Czechoslovakia. Europe circled to the brink of war. Then the Munich clash, the sacrifice of a little nation to its neighbor's greed. European democracy took refuge in ignominious defeat. I bring you peace, cried Chamberlain back to me. Peace? But there was no peace. There was violence in the treaty, betrayal, and feverish rearmament. Against that somber background, the president reported on the state of the nation's crisis, January 4th, 1939.
We must now make up our minds to save all. In meeting the troubles of the world, we must meet them as one people, with a unity born of the fact that for generations, those who have come to our shores, representing many kindreds and tongues, have been welded by common opportunity into a united patriotism. If another form of government can present a united front in its attack on a democracy, the attack must and will be met by a united democracy. Such a democracy can and must exist in the United States. Once I prophesied that this generation of Americans had a rendezvous with destiny. That prophecy comes true. To us, much is given. More is expected. This generation will nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of earth. The way is plain, peaceful, generous, just. A way which, if followed, the world will forever applaud, and God must forever bless. Destiny marched onward with sinister strife. Munich had made war inevitable. On March 15th, defying the Munich guarantees, Hitler marched into Prague. 2 weeks later, Mussolini occupied Albania. Frantically, Britain and France tried to save what remained, gave more guarantees to Poland, Romania, Turkey, Greece. Hitler threatened Poland. President Roosevelt sent an 11th hour appeal for peace. All summer, there were threats and counter-threats, while Britain and France failed in a half-hearted attempt to bring Soviet Russia into line. Then, the diplomatic bombshell of the century, the Nazi Soviet pact. Before dawn of September 1st, Nazi tanks rumbled into Poland. On September 3rd, France and Britain were at war with the Nazi Reich.
That night, in one of his fireside chats, the president addressed the nation in solemn, fateful words.
My countrymen and my friends, tonight my single duty is to speak to the whole of America. Until 4:30 o'clock this morning, I had hoped against hope that some miracle would prevent a devastating war in Europe and bring to an end the invasion of Poland by Germany. For 4 long years, a succession of actual wars and constant crises have shaken the entire world and have threatened in each case to bring on the gigantic conflict, which is today, unhappily, a fact. I myself cannot and do not prophesy the course of events abroad. And the reason is that because I have of necessity such a complete picture of what is going on in every part of the world that I do not dare to do so. And the other reason is that I think it is honest for me to be honest with the people of the United States. I cannot prophesy the immediate economic effect of this new war on our nation. But I do say that no American has the moral right to profiteer at the expense either of his fellow citizens or of the men, the women, and the children who are living and dying in the midst of war in Europe. Some things we do know. Most of us in the United States believe in spiritual values. Most of us, regardless of what church we belong to, believe in the spirit of the New Testament. A great teaching which opposes itself to the use of force, of armed force, of marching armies and falling bombs.
The overwhelming masses of our people seek peace. Peace at home. And the kind of peace in other lands which will not jeopardize our peace at home.